You are listening to
88.9
FM KUCI in Irvine. In the studio here, we have Get Down Moses. They're playing the Whiskey tonight at 8 p.m. Welcome to you, gentlemen.
How's it going?
Hi. Hello.
I think we can hear everyone very well. So we have Cece. From my left to right, of course, the listener can't see that, but we got Kale here.
Hello.
And we got David.
Yes, sir.
And we got Toby. David and Toby.
Yep.
Right.
All right.
It's a David sandwich.
It's a David Davy. Well, how are you gentlemen doing this morning?
Little sleepy. Yeah. Been on the road all night, coming out of Vegas, which was our third stop on this tour? Fourth stop?
Fourth.
I lost count already. but yeah, did the all-nighter in from Vegas to come be here and talk about our show at the Whiskey coming up that we're super excited about.
Now, have you played the Whiskey before?
Never.
Nope. First time.
In my previous life, I think. Not recently, though, no.
So what is your guys' favorite venue? Where do you like playing the best?
Well, as you mentioned, we were in Vegas last night, and we played at a place called the Double Down Saloon that everything we heard about it before we got there made us think it was going to be pretty cool, but it turned out to be even cooler than we thought. It's just a dirty rock and roll club, a little ways off the strip, and if you're ever in Vegas, we strongly encourage you to stop by the Double Down Saloon, check out a show, because they're cool down there.
Now, what casino is that by?
I don't think it's...
It's by the Hard Rock, I think.
It's about a block away from the Hard Rock.
Yeah. Okay, okay. So that's Tropicana, I think.
Yes.
It is.
You've been there.
I've been to the Hard Rock. I haven't been to Hooters. I haven't been to that casino.
I always like going to San Luis Obispo because we've played the Frog and Peach down there a couple times, and that's usually a pretty exciting spot.
So, for you gentlemen, what is the what's the largest place you've played?
What is the largest place?
I don't know. It must have been in Washington somewhere.
The Vera Project was pretty big.
Yeah.
Yeah, we played at Folklife, which is this annual festival, and they open up the stage of the Vera Project, which is one of the all-ages shows, one of the only all-ages venues in Seattle. And the Vera Project is volunteer-operated and run, so they have a nice big space. And they just open it up and let all the public flood through it for a day. That was a good day.
Right. So what do you prefer? Do you like the larger, you like the smaller, sweaty nightclub?
I like a small club packed full of people. Mm-hmm. Personally,
I think the size isn't so important as the texture, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
Sticky is nice, as long as it's honest.
I like all of it. I don't, if as long as it's not a big empty place with five people who don't care. Mm-hmm. You know, I'll play for 10 interested
chairs.
People.
If there's any chairs, people tend to sit in them.
Yeah,
they get a little nervous.
Yeah, yeah,
they don't know what to do, so they sit there and stare at you.
Yeah.
So, how many more stops you have on this tour before you head home?
Another five, isn't it?
Yeah, let's see. We got the Whiskey tomorrow night, or I guess tonight now. the next night is
Bluebeat Lounge at the Knitting Factory with Chris Murray.
Where's that at?
Hollywood Boulevard,
okay.
7021.
Yeah, so we got our two LA shows back to back. Then we're doing San Luis Obispo, the Frog and Peach, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Then Grant and Green in San Francisco, which is another really cool spot, up there in North Beach, right?
Yeah, that's a fun one.
And then after that, we're in Eugene, Oregon.
At the Astoria Bar and Poker Room.
which is going to be another good one. And then after that, we're going to be on KPSU in Portland, doing a live thing for them. Mm-hmm. So,
cool.
Then from there, home.
Yeah.
Home and back to work.
Home, back to work.
Back to sleep, then back to work.
We're trying to play, I think, you know, as many sort of different sorts of venues as we can along the way, because I think above all, you know, I don't want to get stuck playing for any one group of people.
Right.
So we've got a couple of good, crusty rock and roll clubs where I think we know the language. And then there's a couple of meat markets where everybody from the town is going to come in and be drunk.
Like college town kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. And they can come and dance their butts off, and that's fine too.
So what songs do you play the most frequently in your shows?
The Rockers.
Lately, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That one that you heard, Suffering and Hi-Fi, is in every set.
It's a staple.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We've got Modern Day Gold, Pathos, those are similar new rockers. But we have a pretty standard, like, 45-minute set that we like to do everywhere we play. So whether we're playing for 2 or 3 hours or just a half hour, like, that 45 minutes is generally in it.
We do I think it's a pretty cool cover of Safe European Home by The Clash.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's usually the set ender. Yeah. That usually tears the place down. They like the kids like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I was going to say, do you have a set playlist? And then based against the crowd that you have, you know, how do you alter it? You know, do you play with it much? Do you have some throw-ins depending upon whether the mood is high energy or...
If we're playing with reggae bands, sometimes we'll do more of a reggae set, or if it's with rock bands, we'll do more rock. But I think a lot of times we just play what we're going to play.
We change the set when we get bored playing the same song after the song before it, you know?
Yeah, so. But you play the same thing over and over and over, and you get used to, like, this chunk of songs really being able to move an audience and stuff, and, you know, why change that?
Well, if it works, right?
On a longer set, you can spread it out and throw other things in the middle and do a couple more covers and stuff, but if given a short set, there's... Not much changing that happens, at least throughout the week of a tour or something, until we get home and work on new stuff.
I think lately we're feeling like, too, we're sort of, we've been doing this for about 2 years now, and we're starting to feel like, in terms of what the content of the songs are, we've found a sort of all on point with the message these days. So the songs reflect that. Some of the older songs are sort of what we were talking about and thinking about and feeling and singing 2 years ago, so... Mm-hmm. They sort of cycle out of this head.
Yeah.
Cool.
So we were talking about folk life, which is a thing that happens in Seattle every summer earlier, and this next track that we want to play is called Monkey, and it actually was recorded live at Folk Life. This song is another one of our staples of our set. It's one we're real happy with. That's track 3.
Going anywhere.
All right, so let's play Monkey.
Monkey.
Track 3, KUCI. All right, well, that was Monkey from Get Down Moses. And if you're just tuning in, we have them in studio here. They are a Seattle-based band.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Out on tour playing the Whiskey tonight at 8. I guess though we're not allowed to say the cost of the show. If you know, you could substitute the show for, you know, if you were going to get, say, 2 6-inch subs at Subway, instead of eating food, you could actually go to the show.
And listen to food.
Which would be more emotionally filling for you anyways.
That's right. You'd remember it more.
It'll feed your soul versus feed your belly.
Yeah, I'm skipping ahead there. Getting Down Moses makes you not want to eat.
How could you also feed your belly if you're in Seattle on a Sunday afternoon, David?
Okay. That's
like,
what I was doing.
Did you like my segue?
Yeah. That was great.
That was
you should be in show business.
I had that written down.
What Toby's intimating is that there's an organization which is national, and there's a Seattle chapter of it called Food Not Bombs, which is something that I'm involved in, that I always try and give a little bit of a plug to when I'm on the radio.
Uh-huh.
Food Not Bombs is something that a lot of people learn about through music, especially through punk rock. And a lot of us all have come up through punk rock, so I think we try and share the same kinds of things whenever we get a chance to talk on the mic. So it's something that people do in a lot of different cities. So they get together and find out where the food is that's getting thrown away in the city.
Right.
Because in any given city, there's a lot of good usable food that gets thrown away on any given day. And by way of facts and figures, let me see if I remember this. It is 96 billion pounds of usable food that gets thrown away every year in this country. That's roughly 3,800 calories per person per day. That gets thrown away, something like that. I might be getting the numbers wrong, but
it's a lot of food.
So we go to the market and we ask them, rather than throw it away, if they could put a sign for us.
Right.
We cook it, and then we find the people who are hungry when you go out and give it to them.
Now, do you find, different, locales and whatnot that have different restrictions. I know there are some places in California where you're not allowed to take that leftover food and donate it.
Absolutely. It varies from city to city. Seattle's not as harsh as some, but it's still a little bit of a fascist police state in some respects. So we just go down to a public park and take all the food with us, and it's all vegan, which makes it all safe and all meets the health code. And still, every year or two, somebody in some part of the government decides to get a bug up their bum and send the police down and try and persuade us. And by persuade, I mean highly encourage, and by highly encourage, I mean tell us not to serve there. And I don't have my glasses on, so I can't read these on-air rules, but I don't think...
I think bum is okay. I was just checking.
Dobby's pointing at this list of rules, and I'm... bum, that's probably a national thing.
I think arse is probably okay, too. I need to say that.
Donkey.
So anyways, food not bombs. That's something we're really into, and we try to say things in our songs that are... meaningful to us and have a little more depth to them than your typical pop fare from time to time. This next song we want to play is called Modern Day Gold, and it's got this line in it that says there's a street in downtown Seattle where no one's dreams have ever come true, and that's a bit of a nod towards Ozzy's organization. That's the next one on there if you want to.
What track?
Four.
All right, we're set now. Say the song again.
It's called Modern Day Gold.
Modern Day Gold.
This one's from Folk Life as well.
Oh, yeah. This is live at the Folk Life thing as well. So.
Cool. Here we go. All right, that was Modern Day Gold from Get Down Moses. They're in the studio with us right now.
We're really good.
That's what I hear.
Yeah.
That one always gets me dancing.
That's not bad.
Mm-hmm. Not bad for 5 in the morning.
That's right.
With a fake audience in the recording studio.
And everyone in the audience... Everyone in the studio here just came from Vegas. So.
Yes.
Oh, Vegas.
Yes.
Vegas was fun. Vegas took me for $17 on video poker.
A big $17.
Hey, yeah. I tried to complain to the bartender, and she wasn't hearing it.
You know, for an econo-apocalypse that's supposed to be going on right now, there's a lot of people in Vegas.
There was a lot of people in Vegas, but it was also holiday weekend.
I think they probably would do better in a recession anyways.
Yeah,
you know?
We were just talking about this, like lipstick sales and the cosmetic sales, alcohol sales, and candy all go through the roof during recessions. And I think Las Vegas is like America's lipstick.
Yeah, it's less affordable. It's more affordable than a car, but it makes you feel like $1 million for the weekend.
Until Monday morning.
Yeah.
So the name's Get Down Moses. What up? Where that's from? How that
Joe,
came about?
Yeah. Joe Strummer and the Mescaleros have a song that we adore called Get Down Moses. And we
like Joe Strummer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so we bit the name because it's cool.
The Clash.
Homage, not plagiarism.
Yeah, exactly. The Clash is one of our main influences, if you can't tell at all. But, yeah, we take a lot of inspiration from them and the punk from that era.
Yeah, we're trying to be the only other band that matters.
Yeah. Doing pretty well so far, I'd say.
Now, did you have any other names before this, or did you come together and decide on this name and went from there?
This was the first one.
Yeah, that one just kind of fell out and stuck.
We've played with a few different bands around Seattle, and David and I, the drummer, have actually been playing together for about 5 years in a band called the Georgetown Orbits. He's not doing that anymore, but that band has been around for a while. The three of us, the Daves and myself, have played with a group called Rainy City Session, which busks at the Victoria Ska Festival up in B.C. every year. That's 3 or 4 years running, but this one, I thought we had other band names that we talked about. But.
This is the name we played our first show with.
Yep. It's going to be the name we play our last show with, too, I hope. Until we change it to Moses Gets Down.
So for the listeners out there, how would you describe your style of music?
That's funny. We were talking about that on the way in, too. When policemen are talking to us, we say we play rock and roll.
Because you don't want to mention reggae around policemen, because then you get searched.
But if a hippie asks you, we play reggae.
Mm-hmm. But when we have to boil it down, we say it's garage rock steady.
Mm-hmm.
We get that big organ sound, kind of harkens back to the garage rock era, but we're coming out of the kind of reggae current kind of thing, but trying to do our own thing with it. So.
Not roots and not ska, but sort of the rock steady lope.
We don't really know Suffering and Strife well enough, I think, to be a legitimate reggae band. So
no.
We just have to use it as an influence more than anything.
It's influence, mm-hmm.
Yeah. But it's taken a while to get to that point. We kind of poked around marketing ourselves as a reggae band, and that is here or there in the Seattle reggae scene, which is earnest, but still pretty small.
Then we started to realize that we rock pretty hard from time to time, which doesn't really...
it doesn't really
groove to it. So
coming from the Georgetown Orbits was kind of we fell into the reggae scene easily because that's a big roots reggae and ska band that we started a number of years ago. But as we play more and write more material and get into recording studios and go on tour and generally hang out, we realize we're really coming from a more rock and roll background.
I mean, if you look at the definition of the definition of rock and roll, you know, it's got to do with not sleeping, not showering very much, drinking a little too much.
Wasting $17 on video poker and not even caring.
Yeah. You know, and we do all of that far more than we do smoke the ganja, blunt, you know.
That's okay to say.
Yeah, okay. I can say that word, yes.
You can't say that we do, but we don't.
We don't.
Okay.
You're 420 friendly.
Yeah.
Yes.
We're non-discriminatory, is what we are.
You don't hold that against someone.
No. We don't encourage it. But.
So you have a reggae influence.
Mm-hmm.
You rock hard.
Mm-hmm.
So what are the bands out there that influenced you guys, come together when you were, kind of putting this all together?
The Clash, Joe Strummer and the Mescaleros. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Ted Leo and the Pharmacists.
Yeah.
Got one?
Come back to me.
Fugazi.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bad Brains.
Yeah.
I was gonna say Paul Simon is one of my all-time favorite songwriters, and that guy really got me interested in trying to write songs, trying to put poetry to music.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You can hear that in a lot of the songs too. Less musically, but more in the poetry of the lyrics.
Yeah.
That really stands out a lot if you take the words apart.
We also have a lot of influences that are non-musical. We have a lot of literary influences. This next track we want to play is called There There, which is a reference to Catch-22 by Joseph Heller. And throughout the song, there's a smattering of other literary references. What, did I skip one?
Nope.
Oh, yeah.
Number five.
Track five. He's...
I like Bedouin Soundclash, too, for modern influences. I get a lot of inspiration from their bass player.
I like the Slackers.
Yeah, Slackers are cool.
So what are you guys listening to right now? If I was to grab your iPod and turn it on.
We were just listening to...
The Thermals.
Yeah.
Thermals are a band from Portland, righteous pop-punk band.
Yeah.
With a lot of the same sort of, like, big, social, slightly cynical, slightly optimistic kind of message.
So no Britney Spears, no Katy Perry right now?
I listen...
Just at work.
There's one Britney Spears song, which I like a lot. If they want to.
I like the Circus album by Britney Spears. It's good kitchen music if you work in a kitchen, because you can kind of space out, and it's really upbeat and poppy. And
put yourself on kind of autopilot and just go.
Yeah, it works.
I got one more.
Okay.
The Pogues.
Pogues.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's good music to listen to right before you go to Vegas and get you in the mood to, get you in the mood to hurt
for
your liver.
Debauchery.
Yeah.
All right, well, we're going to play track five, and it's There There by Get Down Moses.
Oh, one thing I wanted to mention, sorry.
Okay.
This track was recorded, I mentioned earlier that we're playing on KPSU in Portland on, Sunday? It's coming Sunday?
Yeah, Sunday at 7.
This track was recorded at that show. On our last tour, so.
DJ Simadone.
Yeah.
All right. Well, here we go. All right, we're back.
Hello.
That was, what was the song? There, There?
There, There. Mm-hmm. By Get Down Moses.
And what was that song about?
Man, it's so hard for some of these songs to tell you what they're actually about. I think I tend to write with a lot more verbal imagery than specific content in mind. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But that's a, I think that's a song about maybe human empathy, I guess. If you really want to know, read the book Catch 22 by Joseph Heller, which is a classic. Most people have probably read it. Or any Kurt Vonnegut books. Anything about the human condition in dark humor form.
They have all those books on tape at the library, too.
Yeah, if you
got a lot of time, if you got a lot of commute time or something,
you don't have
read
a Kindle yet.
So what is your songwriting process like? I mean, do you is it regimented where you got a set time, or does it just kind of come to you? You know, and then of course, what comes first? Is it the lyrics typically, or is it the melody and the music? You know, how does that go for you guys?
What ends up happening is I write, I'd say 3/4 of the songs, and Ozzy here writes about the other quarter, and we'll usually bring in pretty much a finished demo for the other guys to hear, and generally it's like up to a vote, like, hey, I wrote this song, guys, check it out, and they'll go like, oh, that's awesome, let's learn it, or like, that's terrible, why are you wasting my time?
We get a CD every other month from Kale, and we pick our favorites out of it.
Uh-huh.
Pretty cool.
And of course, the songs change a bit from the original demo that these guys make.
Well, you can't recreate the funkiness of my bass playing on a demo. So naturally, it's going to come to life a bit. Mm-hmm.
It's a pretty efficient process, though. We've tried writing where you get all 4 guys in the practice space and say, all right, guys, let's write a song. And everybody kind of looks at each other and nothing happens. But you bring in like a sketch of an idea or something, and it goes pretty quick.
Some kind of framework to follow.
Yeah, totally.
Play with.
And you learn to take your shots too, because you'll bring in something you thought is the song to end all songs, you know, and then everyone goes, wow.
Oh, it's more like that.
That's a really good song for some other time for some other band.
We're not quite there yet.
But it's interesting to you know, arrange a song as a band, learn to play it as a band, get used to different changes, get used to different rhythms, to different melodies and stuff, and then go to listen to the original demo and realize how much it's changed. Mm-hmm. So, because the demo always stays, you know, static essentially, but the songs, as you go through different live recordings over the years and stuff, they'll speed up or slow down or get harder or get softer. Or, I don't know. It's sort of continually evolving.
And if you're just joining us, we do have Get Down Moses in studio here. They will be at the Whiskey A Go-Go tonight at 8.
Woo! Yeah. For the price of... A couple bootleg DVDs.
You can also get my underwear for that price.
off of him after the show, too. He will sell it to you.
For the price I charge for high fives as a career high fivist in Seattle.
Hey, Toby, what do you play?
I play the bass and I sing backup vocals.
I'm David. I play the drums and sing backup vocals.
I'm Ozzy. I play the organ. Please, please, no organ jokes. Da-da-da-da-da.
He also sings backup and lead vocals.
I sing a few songs, yes.
And that accent gets all the girls. My name's Kale. I play guitar and sing. And we were gonna tell the How the Band Got Together story, which is
because it is
it's a thrilling one.
It's a woeful tale.
So like Toby was saying here earlier, him and David, drummer David, played in the Georgetown Orbits up in Seattle. And when I got into town up there many years ago and was playing in local bands, I saw these guys, and I was like, oh, these cats are sick. They know what they're doing.
But you played with someone pretty notable.
Yeah, yeah. At the time, I was in a band with Linville Golding from The Specials, actually.
Rhythm guitar player,
who's a really, really sweet guy. But that kind of fell apart for various reasons or whatever, and I thought I'd put a band together, so I kind of poached these two guys from their ska outfit.
Was that hard to do, or... Did it take much coaxing?
I think they were going through a tough period. You know what I mean? And,
no. Yeah. There's certain restrictions on an 8-person band that...
8 people, huh?
Logistical restrictions.
It just caused frustration. So, you know, I think we were 2 or 3 years into it and stuff, and we, you know, have a variety of influences and a variety of desires and stuff. And shoving eight people in a couple vans is, you know, three or four times the cost of shoving four people in a single van and scheduling eight people and doing all that stuff. And so Kale approached us online, I think, and we sort of started talking back and forth, and he came down to our practice space and brought a demo, and we were going to practice, the three of us, and David wasn't there.
So was that Match.com or eHarmony? How'd that work for you guys?
It was Date.com, same one my grandpa uses.
I sent Toby down to check him out.
So yeah, you had some,
I was like, check this guy
some funny excuse or something. And Kale and I, we learned a couple of his songs, and I got a demo from him, and I thought it was pretty cool. I had no expectations in the beginning. I played it for David, and we really liked the construction of the songs. We liked the poetic aspects of it and stuff. Felt Kale had a pretty good sense for, I guess, Wordcraft, yeah. Good
now,
poet.
Originally, what I wanted to do, since I knew these guys were involved with the Orbits, was start a side project, but it became pretty obvious to us pretty quick that we were going to have to take it all the way and conquer the world musically.
He wanted to start a trio with me and David and just have a little rock outfit. And we had known David Giles from actually playing with the Ready City Sessions. He plays with the Orbits now, but was just a fill-in for the Orbits. And, you know, the first time I went to go play with him was through a friend of mine who organized a little jam session at his house. And nothing really came of that, but I really liked Giles' playing, and I am.
Yeah, Toby called me one day and said, oh, do you like busking? And I said, oh, absolutely. And he said, never melodic. I said, no, but, you know, I've always wanted to learn to play accordion.
Yeah.
So I bought an accordion for the Scar Festival in Victoria a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
We went up and tried our hand at it then and just really enjoyed it. So we ended up playing, practicing regularly just for this one show that happened once a year.
Yeah.
Not even a show, just playing on the street outside.
Yeah. We have a couple of friends in Vancouver and Victoria that play with a group called the Valuables. And there's a viola player, baritone sax, and a trumpet player that we've gone up there and done that with a couple times in a row. But that kind of solidified the three of us as a rhythm section. And when Kale approached us, David Obright and I, we suggested bringing Dave Giles in as well. And we were like, oh, we know this organ player. And you weren't too keen on it at first until you heard him play.
I saw that picture of him with that mohawk up in Canada, and I was like, oh. he looks a little too punk for me.
Yeah,
I have half black, half blonde mohawk every year for the Scar Festival. It's just what you.
Now, how tall does it get? Do you like hairspray it up and?
I can't see. It's holding up about 4 inches.
Well, when it's up, it's 5 inches. I don't put it up all that often. But let me tell you, you have to own your mohawk. You have to earn it, and if you don't have the cred to back it up. I don't have the cred to wear like a foot tall mohawk.
You need the cheapest hairspray you can get too. If it's the nice stuff, it won't hold up.
Oh, wood glue works much better.
Oh, so I've used eggs before.
As a little segue here, one thing that's really solidified this band right from the start is we have the four of us an abnormal obsession with the Hitchhiker Guide to the Galaxy series of books by Douglas Adams,
which we discovered after we'd been playing for a little while.
Yeah.
But when it came out, it was big. It was a big deal for us. But this next track is actually named in honor of those books. It's called Hitchhiker.
That's a coincidence. We were just talking about that just 10 seconds
Works
ago.
Works out real well.
What so a segue.
We'll drop that one on you, and then we'll do some more checking.
This was also from KPSU last year.
All right. So we got here Hitchhiker by Get Down Moses, KUCI. You are listening to KUCI Irvine. This is the Hodgepodge Collective. I am E.G. Richard, and in studio here we have Get Down Moses, who will be at the Whiskey tonight, 8 p.m.
8 o'clock for the price, for the less than the price of a pair of Converse All-Stars in the 60s.
Or if you get them secondhand.
Yeah.
Today.
We're also, tomorrow
secondhand
night,
pair of shoes.
Going to be at
Blue Beat Lounge at the Knitting Factory Alternate Stage with Chris Murray, Combo, and Warsaw.
And even if you don't really want to see us, you should show up and see Chris Murray, because that guy rules.
If you have time, you could show up.
Yes, if it behooves
you. I don't
you.
Think we're allowed to call.
Encourage yeah, yeah. Chris Murray being anyway. Watched.
You, all can, right, so, you can recommend.
Yeah.
So we got this last track here, and we recommend that you enjoy it. This is from the very first bit of recorded material we put together, this EP called The Price of Eggs EP that we put out in 2008. And, yeah, this track's called Rudy. This is our experiment in dub.
Yeah, it's got a bit of a hark back to the Specials and a little quote in there.
And it's a story about a kid with his head in the wrong place.
Yeah.
That's
it may or may not be about someone we know.
May or may not. So,
yeah.
So for those who want to learn more about you guys, where would they go? Do you have a website?
The best website is the MySpace site. myspace.com/getdownmoses. We run an email list at getdownmosesmusic@hotmail.com if you're interested in getting updates on our upcoming album or on future tour dates or anything, or if you're ever in Seattle, you want to come see us, drop us a line.
Very good. And so we got Rudy, and what track is that?
Seven.
So we've just gone in the order.
Yep.
Throughout the, All right, well, gentlemen, thank you for coming in. Thank you for being awake.
Thanks,
for those who were awake when you got
half
here.
Half awake, I'd say, at this point.
All right, Get Down Moses. If you're in town, go see them. I can't say go see them, but I can say, I would suggest it. It would be nice if you could.
It may or may not be off the hook.
You may enjoy it.
You may be inclined to buy us beers or whiskeys, and we may not want to turn that down.
All right.
You certainly, I mean, like, it's the imperative that you can't say. Like, you can say you will. You can make predictions, right? Like, you will think we're the hottest thing you've ever seen.
Select you will want to take the track.
Well, here's Rudy by Get Down Moses, KUCI.